Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you a live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, and as the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse of our dear Lord, it's now time for us to get back to the studios to start the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh, along with Brother Bhargav, starting the Veda Jignyasa program. Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
So, at the outset, as usual, we shall offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and pray to him that every thought, every word and every action should be his and his alone. And with that humble prayer, we shall start off our class with the Ganapati Prarthana.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kavinkavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannotibhissidasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajevir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavato Ganeshaya Namaha Sarasvatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So, Bhargav,
what
do we have for the listeners for this week's Veda Jignyasa session?
So, Ganesh, I was thinking that we have so many small mantras which we chant in the mandir.
Yes.
And we think it's very small, but every small mantra has a very profound meaning.
Yes.
No. So, I thought, can we start Nila Suktam? It's a very small mantra of just 4 or 5 lines, but there's a lot of depth in it.
Yes. Every time we talk of a mantra, we keep telling ourselves that even if it is a one-liner or a two-liner, every time we chant it with a different mindset, we have a different insight into that mantra.
Yes.
So, why not we delve into this short and sweet Nila Suktam?
But again, with the same rider, that whatever we understand, whatever we know, only we can share. And the listeners, if they have any more insights, please share again with us.
Yes,
because it is as they again say, we keep reiterating it. Ananto vai Vedaha. Every Vedic mantra, every small word in the Vedic mantra has many meanings. So with that thought, let us just chant the Nila Suktam.
Sure.
Om Neelam Devi Gum Sharanam Aham Prapadye Grnahi Ghritavati Savitaradhipatyai Payasvati Rantirashano Astu Dhruvadisham Vishnu Patnya Ghorasye Shana Sahasoya Manota Bruhaspatir Matarishvota Vayusandhu Vanavata Abhino Grunantu Vishtambho Divo Dharuna Prithivya Asyeshana Jagato Vishnu Patni.
So, just before starting, because anyway this thought we already got before we started this mantra, a very interesting small tidbit to share with our listeners. There was a very famous Vedic scholar and one who had written commentaries by name Shayanacharya. So, he had actually mentioned, you know, what we keep telling about the profundity of Vedic mantras and the meanings hidden in them. So he says that I just read out what he has told. I have just got it from one of our senior brothers who was a Vedic teacher here also with us in the university. He says that every mantra can have 6 meanings. Every word in Veda can have 6 meanings. One of them is vachyartham, the literal meaning, probably what we are trying to dwell on. Then lakshanartham, meaning based on attribute. Probably when you say that, when you chant in different mindset, you get a different meaning. Then there is one more called as sutrartham, that is the holistic meaning. I think Swami only can tell us. And then the next one is yajnartham, means when you do a ritual and then when you offer havis or any offering into the yajna kundam, the fire,
that
the
type, is a different connotation.
Connotation to the whole mantra. So that is the ritualistic connotation. Then something called as visheshartham, which always you keep mentioning, interpretation based on desha, kala, dharma and paristhiti. So means whenever depending on how we are, in whichever situation or circumstance we are, it gives a different flavor, different color to the meaning. And again, the sixth one, very interesting again, is aushadhartham, means every word in Veda has some medicinal property. So the medicinal connotation. So the six, I just to summarize, the six meanings are the vachyartham, the literal meaning, which we are going to dwell on now. The lakshanartham, meaning based on attribute, again very difficult. We'll try to just see from Swami's experiences
whether we can touch upon it or not.
Then sutrartham, again a holistic meaning, Swami's inspiration only. Probably through some listeners also can share. Then yajnartham, ritualistic connotation. Visheshartham, interpretation based on deshakala, parichiti and dharma. And finally, aushadhartham. Like if someone can just open the floodgates of aushadhartham, there'll be a panacea for so many of our ills.
Exactly.
Because I remember we had one book which had come on Rudram, that every anuvaka, every word of Rudram is a panacea for so many different type of ailments if you chant it in that way. If you remember, we had that particular mantra. So with this thought, let's get into Nila Suktam and its meaning.
According to this
we are in the first level, vachyartham.
The direct word-to-word meaning. So Neelam Devi Gum Sharanam Aham Prapadhye,
means I surrender myself at the feet of Nila Devi. Krunahi Grutavati Savitaradhipatyai Payasvati Rantirashano Astu.
So we all sing in praise to her as full of knowledge and its final essence, that is knowledge of the self, so that her affection overflows for us from all directions.
Dhruva Disham Vishnu Patnya Ghora Sveshana Sahasoya Manota.
Our favorite, whosoever she is firmly focused, not fearsome, as the consort of Vishnu, along with his overlordship. Simply meaning she is very loving for us all. So I feel when we finish this, telling this word-to-word meaning, we felt that we'll dwell upon two, three words which are very pertinent in this suktam. One is ghritam, that is ghee. Second is payas. Actually, payasvati means nourishment, milk. Third is dhruva, means
steadfastness.
And then aghora is not fearsome. So probably we thought we'll just dwell on these three, four words which are very deep connotation. So the next one is
Prahaspatir Matarishvota Vayusandhuvana Vata Abhino Grinandu.
May Brahaspati and Matarishva both lovingly wish us well with their equally cleansing winds.
Vishtambho Divo Dharuna Prithivya Asyeshana Jagato Vishnu Patni.
As the consort of Vishnu and owing his overlordship, powers of maintenance, may she hold us all together like a special pillar holding aloft the heavens.
Yeah. So, just when we, this is I think the literal meaning of it. So, the first thing which we just stuck us when we went through this is Ghritam, ghee. So, ghee is something which, you know, is very tasty, you know. Whenever you put in Mysore Pak, or just put it in something indeed.
It just melts.
Just melts, and the aroma, the fragrance.
But what effort does it take to produce ghee?
Yeah, I think that's the hint. You got it correct.
Yes.
I think that's the hint which probably this suktam is giving us about ghee. And one more thing which we found is gru is the root of this, which means shining. So the shining one. So something which Swami always says, now whenever I test you, test is my taste.
Mm.
So when he tests us, then what he does actually, he says, I put you in the crucible of fire and probably bake you for some time and remove all your dross, remove all your impurities and make you worthy of offering to me.
So that's why people often get, some people get very happy when Swami tells Bangaru.
Yeah.
But the real process starts when Swami tells you Bangaru.
Yeah, correct.
On the other hand, when Swami tells Dunapota, I think, yeah, we can still relax.
Bangaru means warning, I'm ready.
Yes, I'm making you ready for the process.
So final offering to me.
Final offering.
So, like how Gritavati means the one who nourishes or the one who gives you the essence of everything. So essence of everything means the Atmic knowledge.
Atmic knowledge.
The Brahma Jnana.
Knowledge of the self.
And then again, can you dwell a little bit on how the ghee is produced?
Actually, it comes through the most pristine form of Mother Nature, the cow.
Yes.
Gomata.
Mm-hmm.
We get milk from the cow.
Yeah.
When the milk becomes curd, and then when the milk is boiled, the complete essence we get as
the cream. The cream on top.
So once the cream is also heated, and then slowly
it becomes butter. No, we use the butter for our sandwiches.
And then once the butter is also heated, then the
final essence, I think something which cannot be further divided, cannot be changed to any other form, is ghee.
Mm.
So that is actually the final essence of everything in the milk which we get.
Mm.
So probably here, if you pray to her first, because we say we surrender ourselves to Neela Devi.
Mm.
So she gives us that understanding, that depth, that essence of what is the true knowledge.
Mm.
So this is something which is again very special.
Actually, when we are talking about this true knowledge, the outcome of this having this true knowledge will be, I think, totally of a different level.
Mm.
Because I am reminded of an incident that happened in Kasturi Garu's life.
Mm.
When his, I think one of his son passed away. See, the amount of wisdom that Swami had given to Professor Kasturi Garu, he did not take this to heart. When people asked him, are you not feeling bad when your son has passed away? Because Putra Shokam is considered to be one of the most difficult thing to deal with.
Mm.
Then he tells, see, all of us are co-travelers in this journey of life. His station has come, so he got down.
Yeah.
When my turn comes, I will also get down.
Mm.
And people were very amazed to see that when the final rites were being held, Kasturi Garu was chanting, Asatoma Satgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma Amritangamaya. And what sort of poise, what sort of equanimity that
he would be having,
which had taken him to that level.
Yes.
And we can imagine how much of grace Swami had showered on him. So okay. That is the kind of essence we are all talking about.
Yes.
Because Swami tells in his poem, when you are, the samabhavam comes, the equanimity comes, only then you are supposed to be called a true devotee.
Really, even Swami talks, always tells about samatvam yoga muchyate. It means the final essence, the final outcome of yoga is samatvam.
Mm.
Means equal-mindedness.
Equal-mindedness.
You don't get agitated by anything.
Any dualities of life.
Yes. Yeah, very beautifully put, Ganesh. So next is Payasvati. Yeah, Payasvati is again something which nourishes.
Hmm.
So probably nourishment doesn't mean nourishment of the physical body.
Body.
So like Swami gives a beautiful discourse and we get lot of good lessons out of it, and probably it gives an elevating experience to us and probably puts us on the path towards God.
Correct.
So that's also nourishment to us.
Yes.
And then again, one more word which says Gritavati Savitara Adhipatiyai. So Savita again, Savita is like generally we say Savita is nothing but sun god.
Mm.
But if you actually say Gayatri Mantra, it is actually addressed to our intellect.
Correct.
So means this is a mantra which talks about how it gives us understanding of the true nature and nourishes our intellect. Probably that's also one thing which is there in this.
Mm.
So means when we chant this mantra with that real bhavam and with that understanding, it actually awakens our intellect. Like we say, like the last stanza of Gayatri Mantra, we say Prachodaya.
Prachodaya. It enlightens.
Enlightens you. Enlightens the intellect. So this also gives that meaning in that.
Mm.
And then if you go to the next very important word which we felt is Dhruva. Dhruva, you know, we all know about the small boy Dhruva who was so special.
Mm.
And he steadfastly did worship and penance to please Lord Narayana.
Mm.
And only that he's a very, very sweet and innocent desire of sitting on the lap of his father.
Mm.
But when he actually went into this worship of Lord Narayana,
mm.
he understood that this is a very meager and a small thing to actually ask for. And when actually
very, very trivial.
Very trivial. Actually, Lord Narayana comes, he feels that, my God, I should ask you for only you, nothing else.
Mm.
So this is probably, it's a very important indication for us also that when we start our journey and ask Swami something,
mm.
probably you start asking about worldly things.
Yes.
But probably Swami says, a time will come where you will start asking me what I have come to give you.
Yes.
So probably that is what is meaning the Dhruva in that.
Yes.
And you have any other inputs on steadfastness, Dhruva?
Steadfastness, when we are talking about this, there is one small experience of a student who is right now studying in his MA Economics.
Mm.
He shared a beautiful dream which he had when he was studying in the university.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sports meet times, he had a wish of giving aarti to Swami, keeping the camphor in his hand, in his palm.
Who is it?
So then he happened to be a part of the fire sticks drill.
Drill.
And then during the course of the, and he forgot totally about his wish. And then when the practice session was going on, a couple of days before the final event, there was a stunt where two of them had to exchange their fire sticks and they had to hold it back.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of throwing, he understood that the other boy threw it a little more
in a faster way,
and it was going beyond him.
Mm.
So he did not want the show to be a flop, and then he had to extend his arm and then run backwards to hold the fire stick.
And he held it on the fire side. Mm.
So it started burning, and then but the event had to continue. So immediately his eyes fell on the hoarding that was there in the stadium. Life is a game, play it.
Mm.
So as soon as he thought of it, the entire palm became so cool.
Oh,
and then it started healing. So then he went on to finish his
event.
And then he gets a dream wherein Swami comes and tells, see, you had a desire that you should give aarti to me, keeping camphor in your hand. See, that is what has happened. But why do you trouble your body so much?
For this,
if you are troubling your body, I am getting troubled because I am there in you.
Yes.
So I am also feeling the pain.
Mm.
And then Swami went, goes on to reveal so many things to him. And then when he was studying his 11th standard, he got 74 marks out of 75 in mathematics paper 2.
That's not enough.
So he was very, very confident and sure that, no, I had answered the paper well, and I have to get 75 out of 75.
Okay.
And then regardless of the number of comments that he had for applying for the betterment exam, he applied with so much of like firm faith that yes, I can do it.
Mm.
And finally, he gets 75 out of 75.
Yeah.
Swami in this dream tells him that, see, you had so much of focus and so much of conviction
yes.
that you can get 75 out of 75. That is the sort of conviction you should have when you are dealing with God.
God also.
That is the sort of faith you have to develop and one-pointedness. Even though everybody tells so many things, your focus should be on God.
Yes.
And maybe that is the sort of steadfastness we should be
aspiring for. And then, and probably the fourth point which we thought we'll talk about is Aghora, not fearsome.
Mm-hmm.
So anything on this?
Aghora, not fearsome. Maybe
you remember that one experience where we talk about in Vrindavan, where Swami came and he offered peanuts, groundnuts to the...
He did not even offer. He just held all the peanuts in his palm.
Mm.
And then one by one,
the monkeys
come in a
line.
Line. pick up one peanut after the other and then
imagine a monkey.
Back.
We say monkey mind. A monkey comes and just picks up and goes. So we felt that it is because of that love which he has, no? That purity and the love what Swami is. Swami is actually love. So with that love, if you have that, you don't like, you become like a friend, like someone very close to anyone, not only human beings, in the creation, animals, everyone become so close to you. Advaishta Sarabhutanam. You become friend with everyone. So this is a beautiful analogy which you gave. It's a beautiful story. And then one more I remember is about not being fearsome. And is if there's a story of Swami Vivekananda. He'll be going on his Parivrajika days. He'll be going around India, and then there's a place where he encounters some monkeys, and he gets little fearful about the monkeys because they try to attack. They'll be trying to chase him, and he'll be little taken aback. And then and he sees there's an old woman next to that road there, and she says, "You look like a sannyasi. You look like Sarvasanga Parityagi. You look like someone who has renunciated everything. So where is the question of having fear? The first thing you should renunciate, first thing you should leave is fear. You should be fearless. That is the first quality of being a sannyasi. So if you have any fear, face it head on. If you face it head on, they'll just vanish. You just see. So he takes inspiration from that old lady and just goes front and tries to shoo the monkeys away, and needless to say, they all just leave. Then he understands that it's correct actually. Same way, we get so many thoughts, so many different ideas, so many different things in our mind which trouble us. We just stand firm and steadfast and don't give into this fear or this wavering. They just leave you and go. So probably these two are the thoughts which we thought are very interesting and very important for all of us to follow in our daily lives also.
Yes. So, actually, we have a special guest in our midst today.
So, without any delay, let us introduce him.
Yes.
Ganesh.
He is our dear Praveena sir, who had taken us through the entire Vedam tutor program across so many years.
Yes.
And then now we have him with us to share a few thoughts on... actually, this Neela Sutram sir, if you can throw some light.
Okay, Sairam to all of you, especially Ganesh and Bhargav here. But I just want to know what exactly you discussed till now on Neela Sutram, because Neela Devi is a Sutram, very small one, but again it is referred to the goddess Neela. But let me know from you, who is goddess Neela? Have you discussed about it?
No, sir.
Yes, here is this answer. Lord Vishnu is said to be having three consorts, goddess. Okay, Bhudevi, then Sri Devi, and Neela Devi. Among them, it is the Bhudevi who is said to be the eldest one and who is positioned on the right-hand side, Dakshina Bhaga, of Lord Mahavishnu. At the same time, the other two younger consorts are usually placed at the left-hand side, Vama Bhaga. As the Sri Devi signifies the prosperity, wealth, etc. And also, we got the Bhudevi, who signifies authority, leadership, rulership, etc. We have the Neela Devi, who stands for simplicity. So that's how usually Neela Devi, as a consort of Lord Vishnu, is supposed to be symbolizing the simplicity and benignness. That's what we had just now heard. You discussing about Aghora Rupa and Aghora form of this Neela Devi. Even the same expression is given in the Rudram. If you chant, if you try to recollect, Ghora form and Aghora form. Okay, these two forms are actually the very clearly visible forms, not merely in this goddess Neela, but also Lord Rudra. So the Aghora form of this Neela Devi, the goddess, symbolizes that simplicity and also the benignness of Lord, this goddess Neela. So this Neela Devi, actually, but we say many a time how Lord Vishnu has got Mahalakshmi as a consort. Actually, Mahalakshmi is said to be the unified form of these three Devis, these three goddesses.
And just to add to what sir said, there is one place where it's mentioned in the Puranas that actually the Bhu Devi is the physical aspect of Vishnu, Sri Devi is the mental aspect, and Neela Devi actually is the vital force which actually connects both of them. So this is, but Ganesh, I think Neela Suktam is fine, but I think when we have the fountain of knowledge with us here, so we had so many doubts we used to have about, you know, we had our one listener also had asked us about how to chant this, how to chant that. So I think let's go little more into basics.
Sure.
Probably from this episode onwards till sir actually clarifies all our doubts, whatever we have.
Yes.
So I think let's start with how to chant a mantra and what are the rules of Vedic Sanskrit? Where we have to stop, or you know, sometimes we have to give a pause, and sometimes when you add two syllables, the sound becomes different. And there's a vast amount of knowledge which we should actually know before actually going into chanting the mantras.
Yes.
So I think
we can begin with that.
Begin with that first. Probably sir should throw some light on that and how he wants to go ahead with this. And
so you can give a picture today, sir, so that from the
next episode
onwards we can have a detailed study, sir.
Yeah, sure. Because all the listeners, we must remember one thing, that the efficacy of Vedic chanting lies in the sound of the Vedic mantras. In fact, Vedas actually based on fully sound. At the time of the origin of these Vedic mantras, it was not written, it was not in a book form, it was not in a script form, it was not written at all. As all of us know, Shrutva Krita iti Shruti. Vedas are also called Shruti because only by hearing. Okay, through the generations, all these powerful Vedic mantras have come to us. And we own these very, very powerful Vedic mantras, and we are really very fortunate to have these Vedic mantras. At the same time, we have the responsibility of knowing how to chant, how to retain the exact sound of these Vedic mantras as we chant all these mantras. Mantra heena swarato varnatova mithya prayukto natamarthamaha sa vak vajro yajamanam hinasti yathendra shatruhu swarato paradhat. Now here, mantra heena swarato varnatova. Any mantra that is deficient or bereft of the swaras, or even any other form of its, the grammars. And you can see any bereft or deficient in these things. And when we chant, definitely, na tam artham aha, that meaning will not come. So what we intend to chant, what the passage meaning, the exact meaning the passage is supposed to give, may not come. And many a time, it can happen that it can give a reverse meaning, totally ulta meaning altogether, or it may become meaningless. That's where the importance of the chanting of Vedic mantras comes into picture. Whenever we are able to chant all the Vedic mantras with the correct pronunciation, with the intonation, swaras, everything, I think then we'll be able to actually derive the whole benefit of Vedic chanting. And all of us know the Vedas are very, very powerful, not because of any other reason, because they are very pure. Why they are pure? Because they are given by Lord directly. No human has written. All of us know no human error exists in Vedic mantras. That's why it is called apurushaya. Purushayana na likitaha. No purusha has written. Mistakes can come. Errors can come. Only when it is written, when it is composed by any human being. So no such errors are there in Vedic mantras, because directly revealed to these sages and given to us from them. So that's how you can see the Vedic mantras, as very uniquely it is given. You can see the intonations, very commonly we know the udatta, anudatta, swarita, etc. However, we also have so many other type of intonations, of course, eight of them are very prominent. But among them, we have Udatta, Anudatta, Swarita intonations, quite prominent. And also, in major cases, we come across these intonations. So when we are able to chant these Vedic mantras with these intonations, you can see the power generates, the vibrations created. And you don't find such Vedic intonations or these intonations in any other Sanskrit verses. You see, or we very often chant various stotras, shlokas, subhashitas, etc. But do we find these intonations over there? No. They are human compositions. Of course, they have a specific meter. Even Vedic meters also there. All the Vedic mantras are written in specific meters or chandas. However, the meters that appear in the Vedic mantras are little different from the meters that appear in the shlokas as a part of classical Sanskrit. So these are called Vedic meters. And they are very, very unique. And the numbers can vary right from very small number to as much as more than 100 in one pada itself, which you don't find in the normal the verses or the shlokas. So that's where you can find all the other verses written in Sanskrit, shlokas, stotras. You don't find intonations. But these intonations are very, very specific to only the mantras. And these mantras thus become more energized. And when we chant these mantras with all those sound modulations, you can see those vibrations which are created will be able to make ourselves more powerful and cleanses the atmosphere around us. Of course, there are so many other aspects, the technical aspect, I think we'll take it up.
So I think probably from next week onwards, sir will give us a walkthrough about all, because this is something which is...
It's an ocean,
it's an endless thing. But still, something which our listeners and we can some tidbits, some basic pointers which will be helpful for us to keep in mind whenever we chant mantras. Right from the very basics to the aksharas, how we pronounce them, and all the matras, like how sir has told these three things, akshara shuddhi, matra shuddhi and swara shuddhi. So all these things, I think we are looking forward to sir's class from next week onwards.
So I think with this sir, with an invitation to you, we shall close this episode of Veda Jignasa
with the Kshama Prarthana.
With the Kshama Prarthana mantra.
Om Yadakshara Parabhrashtam Matrahinam Tu Yadbhavet Tatsarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visargavindu Matrani Padaparaksharani Cha Nyunani Chatiriktani Kshamasvasa Ishvara Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyante Arnishanmaya Dasoyamiti Mam Matva Kshamasvasa Ishvara Anyatha Sharanam Nasti Tvameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhavena Raksha Raksha Sa Ishvara Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Sa Ishvara Arpanamastu.
So with this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Veda Jignasa program. And then we shall continue the next episode with our Praveena sir elaborating much on the efficacy, efficiency and the effectiveness of the Vedic mantras. And now with this, we come to a conclusion. And then with a request to all the listeners to please do write in your feedback and your share your thoughts on all the aspects of Vedic learning to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9393258258. And across this is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Sai Ram, happy listening. Meet you next week, same time.